keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Paul, and this is the show that teaches you all things that's going on in the world of social media.
Have you ever found yourself pondering the future of your brand's presence on social media amidst this news of platform bans like the current buzz around TikTok? Maybe you're seeking insight on how to safeguard your marketing strategy against such uncertainties as we're in right now. So do you want to know more about emerging tech and what might affect your business? If these concerns resonate with you, you're in the right place. Today, we're delighted to host Robin Diamond, an expert in leveraging omnichannel strategies and emerging technologies to build resilience. Brands. Robin will share her expertise, her strategies for navigating these turbulent digital waters, and how to future-proof your brand's marketing strategy. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Robin, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be talking about this.
So I want to introduce you guys to Robin. Robin is the CEO and founder of Fifth and Core. It's a marketing and innovative company, and Robin brings over 18 years of experience that has led to a successful team and client success stories over the years. She's passionate about the human experience. She strives to bring sensory experiences to the heart and the heart back to all her team's work, and thus lives up to the name Fifth, which means five senses, and Core, which is Latin for heart. What a cool name for a company. So Robin, once again, thank you for being on the show today. She's also the co-host of Agora Pulse, the summit you guys are doing. Can you talk a little bit about that, Robin, what you're doing with Mike?
Sure. So I am the co-host with Mike on MarTech. It is done by Agora Pulse. And it's every week we go in there and we talk about what's new in marketing and technology. And honestly, it's really just to help people or brands see what's coming, because it's coming at us all so fast. So we do the show just to talk about those latest and greatest updates that are happening, and then tell them how they can solution to help their teams.
Yeah, they've got some great guests, because secretly I've been editing their podcast, and there's you guys got to check it out. It's going to be amazing. When the podcast launches, I think at the end of this month, you guys need to sign up for it, because they have some great guests, great conversation over there. Something else I want to do before we get going too far into the show is I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Ecamm. They're what makes it happen. You saw me doing some crazy wild switcheroo stuff at the beginning. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Thank you so much for Ecamm for sponsoring the show. You can actually use code Jeff15 to save 15% on your first purchase. So check that out at ecamm.com/Jeff. All right, let's talk about the future of marketing. We are going to dump right into this. So the thing I wanted to ask, first of all, because we're going to talk about omnichannel marketing, and that's something that you talk about a lot, you're passionate about. And let's just pretend some people may not know what omnichannel marketing is. Can you tell people what that is and why it's important?
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about even more why it is important, like a little bit later. But for omnichannel, it's seamless, consistent, personalized customer experience across multiple channels. And this is really focused on the customer centric of marketing instead of just data driven ideas. It really creates a seamless journey to meet your people where they're at.
Gotcha. So, my daughter, who's actually getting a marketing degree, says, "Dad, you've got to ask this next question. What's the difference between omnichannel marketing and multi-channel marketing? Is there a difference?"
There actually is a difference. When you're doing omnichannel, you're going across everything with the whole same idea. So before, we used to like hyper focus on one thing, and it was almost like none of the parts of the body talked to each other. So I try to think of omnichannel as your one body. If I only go in and work out my abs every single day, I'm not really going to get results. I need to be doing all the things, but having the same structure and plan. So omnichannel is taking your messaging and kind of manipulating it to each platform, but making sure you're consistent across each platform.
Gotcha. And Paul, you can go ahead and take this next question, because I know, you know, you look at other companies because Paul's really, he has a huge Facebook group. He does, you know, live shows across the nation. Paul, what are your questions about this omnichannel?
Yeah, you know, we've all heard that the possibility of what's happening with TikTok. So how do we prepare our marketing strategy, not just for that, but, you know, with Google's algorithm changes and Facebook changing their organic reach, how do we prepare for that in all of these possible bans and changes?
Paul, honestly, like, that's the best question. And, you know, I used to tell everyone, create a roadmap, take that roadmap, crumple it up and throw it away. And I say that jokingly because everything's affecting us. As marketers, we're being affected daily by Meta being shut down 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They went down for an entire day and they actually lost $2.79 billion in that day.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, talk about like panic attack on their part. And then we're seeing this ban with TikTok come. Mm-hmm. We've seen X or Twitter, however they want to be called. We saw all the changes that they've gone through. And so if you have a roadmap, you need to go and focus only 90 days. Don't be focusing way out there. You need to come up with a channel strategy so that you're across multiple channels, because our brands who were able to be across multiple channels, like they had an X, they had a YouTube, they had a Pinterest. We had a heyday making memes all day about Meta being down. Right. It really was just us making memes and making fun of the other channels for being down. With this TikTok ban, all these companies who were like ride or dying on TikTok and didn't want to go onto their other platforms, we saw a really big, we're seeing really big issues and a panic attack with that. So it's really spreading across all of those. But to say that we're going to be prepared, I would say the first couple years of my life in marketing was amazing. The last three have been terrible. Google changes, Meta going down, this TikTok ban. You're like, I'm sorry, I don't know what the heck we're doing out there. So I think it's like we need to be very truthful and honest and really create a partnership in a community. I love that you have a Facebook group, but you should have a group on every single channel like that. Right. There should be LinkedIn connections. Hmm. Brands need to diversify.
So I want to talk about that because, you know, I've been doing this social media marketing and marketing stuff. We were talking with Mike, Mike was on last week, and we've been friends in this, like back in the, here we go, Chris Stone, Google Plus days. And one of the things is, you know, a lot of times people would say niche down, only be on one platform so you can concentrate on that. And, you know, that's great until you've built your platform on a company like TikTok that may go away. And I understand why people are upset and like, why are they going to ban this thing? We built our whole business on that. So what lessons can we learn? And like, especially from like, you know, Fifth and Core's ability to pivot, you know, quickly on this kind of stuff, what should we do? I mean, it just seems like we can't do anything right. And every time we start to build something up, we get slapped down. So what do you tell people who like, listen, I can barely do one platform. How am I supposed to diversify and do it everywhere?
I think that's a great question. And this is a question I've been getting asked a lot lately. Okay, hey, I barely can keep up with my Twitter. And it is really about coming up with a strategy. Come up with a posting cadence for you. And what I mean is that is if your brand can only do it twice a week, do it twice a week. Do all the channels. Maybe they're going to all have the same content, but you can't niche down. Get to know who your customer is, not who your customer is on each platform. Because the other thing that we're doing wrong is everyone's like, boomers are on Facebook. Boomers aren't my clients. Or boomers are on this and Gen Z's over here. That's not true. The worlds have merged so quickly now. My dad, I joke, I actually said this yesterday on the Social Summit podcast. I was like, my dad showed me something before. That's why I was late to my own podcast. Was because my dad was showing me something on Instagram and he's 71 years old and he's out there and he's like, yeah, this is how you do it. And I'm like, I'm a Gen X. How do I not know? He's like, because you're on all the platforms. So what I would tell a brand is find who your people are. What do they like to hear? And then meet them across every platform. It's okay if it's the same content. Just serve it up differently.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, and tell me if I'm wrong, but technology now has made it easier than ever to go omnichannel, because before it was hard. But like right now, we are going live on all these different places. I'm able to pull with the magic of Ecamm, pull in comments from YouTube, like Chris Stone is over there because I said Google Plus. It's his drinking game, so he said clink. He had to take a drink, and the, you know, Dustin Stout's over there. We got people over on Facebook telling me like, "Hey, Facebook's kind of weird since it went down. Tons of spam ads and stuff like that." But the technology is here where I'm able to do this omni-channel everywhere, and when I do these clips that I repurpose, I use Agora Pulse, which allows me to have buckets that I continue to rotate these clips out. So, do you think that advice saying, you know, niche down a specific platform is outdated because of technology, or is it just the world, you know, that we're kind of living in and that people aren't educated with the tools that you can use to go everywhere at once?
I think people don't know about the tools because it's exhausting to keep up with all of this. And I want to give, you know, those people credit, but I also think people are in the old school mindset. They heard something 5 years ago and that's not a thing anymore. We don't control the platforms. The platforms control how we do content. And so if you're not across all of them, if you don't have a robust blog that people can go to, a YouTube channel, a Instagram, a Facebook, I didn't even have LinkedIn 5 years ago. Not at all. My old CEO used to make fun of me about it. And now I have almost 27,000 connections. Mm-hmm. I went ham on it because I realized that if Meta goes down, I'm in trouble. Personally, business-wise, all the things, it's going to personally affect us. And so I think don't niche, like you really can't niche down anymore. And also audiences are floating between things. Right. Again, let's go back to the Gen Zs are going over to see their grandparents and they're talking and you're seeing platforms really merge across everything. AI should have taught us this. Leverage AI. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to replace you, but leverage it. Leverage Agora Pulse. I can put my content in there. Shout out to Agora Pulse. I can put my content in there and it gets served across platforms. There's tools now that can help you. And if you don't know those tools, connect with us, watch this show, connect with us on LinkedIn, and we'll tell you those tools.
And one of them is Dustin's in here too. Paul, before you ask this question, because I have one that just came up to my mind and I know it's going to be important to you. So one of the things that people struggle with, and we agree that it's important to build community on whatever, you know, as with our audience, right? We need to have community. That's something important. But what do we build it on? Because you can't have a community everywhere, right? You can't really have omni-channel community. Do you recommend using a third-party tool like, you know, Circle or something like that, that you send people to for that community? Because I know that's a big struggle and a lot of questions. I know Lou Mangiello's in the audience. I know Paul has a huge Facebook community and this Meta stuff freaks him out. Like, where do we put our community that we maybe own it a little bit better? Do you have any thoughts or you know, advice on that?
Absolutely. There's so many platforms now. I'm in a lot of different women's groups. I'm in Slack channels now too. So all of their social channels will connect them to one that I can control. And that's something that's really important. And Paul, like your energy about this is the same thing I have. Like I'm freaking out because like, okay, now 19,000 people on Facebook are not going to actually see it. It means nothing anymore. Mm-hmm. And so being able to take them off the social platforms and move them into a community platform that can be attached to your website is going to help you serve it. And it also builds like a VIP feeling. And we're seeing a lot of brands do this. I'm not saying use Reddit because Reddit can go down as well, right. But we're seeing Slack channels. We're seeing, you know, boards go up that people can be part of. And that's a lot better. Get all your social channels to go to one that you own that. So that if Meta does go down, you can say, hey, you can tune into us on YouTube over here.
Great, great points.
I like what you're talking about, how we need to know our audience, not just no platforms, but no audiences. So what are those key metrics that you use to kind of help identify where who your audience is and how you appeal to them?
So we ask them because I'm going to tell you, Meta does not give you the truth. They're like, you're not 30 to 40. And I'm like, no, they're not. So we do polls on social. We ask them. Mm. Where are you coming from? What location are you? There's the bots out there. And every single marketer right now is like, the bots are killing me. The bots out there are going to throw your algorithms off. They're going to throw everything off. And so we ask people, where are you from? How'd you hear from us? We actually go back to this freaking device. And I will actually write after people and say like, hey, thanks so much for the feedback. Where'd you hear from us? And people are like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? How did you know about it? And I'm like, okay, great. And I'll start following them or I'll like their community. It's really, when I say it's about going authentic, that's the one thing that social has taught us recently is we need to be more authentic. And I know I probably should be saying something else. Like I should be like, look at this or look at your insights. Your insights are skewed very, very heavily.
So I'm going to go back and you know, authenticity is something everybody talks about. So how do you do that at scale? Or is it something you can't scale and that's okay?
You can. There's certain times that you can go on live and you let people know. We let people know, hey, we'll be answering this from 10 to 11. Hey, we'll do a poll and we'll follow up tomorrow. Like you have to share it. And I'm going to go to dating. If I don't tell you the expectations of dating me, then how can you expect that? Same thing with your clients, same thing with your customers, same thing with your groups. If you're really wanting a community, let them know, hey, every day from 10 to 11, these are what I answer your questions. I'll get through as many as I can. If I don't see you, tag me again. It's really being more transparent with people.
Well, I think one of the things we've just learned in this first section is like, be authentic, but also be everywhere. And one of the things is the technology we talked about and AI. I know Dustin Stout, who you just interviewed not very long ago. He had his new BFF because he was on your show. So with you,
we're getting matching charm bracelets, Dustin. I know. I'm sending it to you.
So, and Gary says, you know, omnichannel chat comments are awesome in eCamp. So like, I know that Gary usually watches over on YouTube, and then I know like there's a lot of people who watch over on LinkedIn, and it's turning into a thing. Like you mentioned before, is where people prefer it. My dad, like you said. He's like, I've given him all these other channels to watch. He loves YouTube. That's his thing. He watches like, you know, the cop shows and all the stuff. And it's so funny that it's a place that they wouldn't. And my mom's on Instagram, and like, it's people watch where they want to consume content. So in that vein, I want to jump, and I know you're really passionate about this, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it, is the impact of emerging tech. Because one of the things you do at Fifth and Core is I'm really interested in how you use VR and AR and XR and all that stuff. You do a lot of medical stuff with that, training people about that. So with your interest in emerging tech, what are your thoughts on the Apple Vision Pro? Because it's stupid expensive. It's the first gen. It's very, very cool. But how can marketers leverage some of this technologies for like immersive customer experiences? Because I want to know kind of your thoughts on that.
Great. So it is stupid expensive. Let me just say I should probably get an insurance policy out on mine. It's super expensive. It does have some weird hitches. Let's just think about the marketing of Apple, though. Let's give them some credit. They said Apple Vision Pro, meaning there is going to be another one that's more junior coming out that will be more affordable for everybody. So don't rush out and buy this if you don't need to. They also then, on top of it, their marketing people are geniuses, or their PR team is, they announced the Apple Ring that's coming out. Mm-hmm. So now you have the Apple Vision Pro, which is going to be able to take you into XR. It's augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality. Extended reality. It's going to be able to take you into all of those things. When I put mine on, it's easier for me to use than the Oculus. And I'm going to share why. I had a stroke several years ago. And so any VR that I'm completely shut off makes me nauseous within like 30 seconds. Mm. I cannot do it. I've gone to shows. I was at CES in Orlando and I put on a headset. The Apple Vision allows you to see through, and it is very adaptable. Their hand tracking, their eye tracking is also super relevant. Yes, it's still clunky, and everything is. The first phone that came out was not that great, but this is where people are going to. Now, the other thing is men say it's not that heavy. On my face, it's like,
heavy.
You can pick up your, it's like, and you get those nice dents underneath your face. It's not practical. They will come out with the next version. We're seeing this, but it took what other brands like Google Glass and Magic Leap, and it merged them together. And then they started adding on layers.
Yeah. So we'll get into it. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
So with all this things coming out, do you recommend, and if so, how can we as businesses leverage it to really create interactive, engaging customer experiences?
I do recommend it as a business. If you can make the investment, make it. If you can't, hold, there's going to be another one coming. Like, we have to know that's what they do every year. If you can use it, there is, and you have the Apple or the Apple phone 15, if you have this, go into where you're shooting video, hold your phone horizontally, and you will actually see a little mask pop up. we started shooting content for all of our clients with that little mask. And so now that content is created for the Apple Vision Pro. And that is something that businesses need to jump on, start playing with, because now you're shooting content that can be 180 degrees in front of you. It is set in front of that. That's how social is going to be. And so brands who were paying all these money for these photo shoots, this just solutioned all of it. The LiDAR solutioned it. And it's better than any cameras. It's better than a photographer. And you can actually go out there. And I understand, because I do have photography as an asset. My brother's a great photographer. I'm not pooping on photographers or videographers, right, but they solutioned all of this really quickly. And so, yeah, Paul, if you can make the investment, make the investment. If you can't, and you have an app, you have an Apple phone that's a 15, start shooting content that way. Start capturing it now, so that it will be ready for the people who can afford those things.
I want to talk about, because I, here's
right
here. Yes, I brought it right here. I had to show it. So I've got this little protective thing on it because I'm scared to death to break this thing. So what you just said about the spatial computing, that's the one thing I think is going to change how we take photos, because you mentioned with the Apple 15. And so I can talk about it all, you know, until my face turns blue. But until you experience it, you can't understand it. I wish that I was able to go back and take my kids' photos in spatial, because if you ever watch Harry Potter, it's like a pensive, like it feels like you're going into a memory. It's like that. And I can shoot it, like I could put this on my head and like shoot video, but that's ridiculous. But they have it, like you said, for the Apple 15, that you can shoot it natively on that. I think that's how it's going to change the way we take photos, because like for me, like I know I'm going to die, hopefully not soon, but eventually, but I would love to have me talking to my kids in the spatial video and spatial photos. It reminds me, okay, spoiler alert. Remember in Avengers Endgame when they're watching Tony say goodbye to his kids and he's got it. It's like that. It's like, I could do that kind of stuff for my kids. So I think that one thing, everybody's like, what's the killer app? What's the killer app? I think it's that. It's not there yet for everybody. Like, it is ridiculously expensive. It is ridiculously heavy on your face. But the tech on that stuff is amazing. And I think it's going to change the way we shoot photos as a home, you know, video person and that kind of thing. So that's just me. I want to bring up this comment by Corey. He goes, VR ed tech is going to change the world. Bias is his company is doing it. But believe me, you know, he's saying it's going to happen. So that's where I want to talk about a little bit right now, Robin, is, you know, educating clients. Like, how do you approach your educating your clients, particularly like in this medical space where you're teaching people, like, this is an asset that you can use to train your people with, or to, you know, explain things or even procedures. So how do you, educate clients who are like, okay, I know it just came out. What do I do? Do you have to go and show it to them? What do you do to kind of explain this technology to your clients?
Well, absolutely. I want to touch back about what you said about family, because what we're seeing is the greatest exodus of boomers leaving businesses right now. And so the same emotional connection that you just had about your children and like leaving your legacy with them and being able to shoot it is what business owners are doing. And before these private equity companies come in or before they leave it, they're going to be shooting content that someone can come in on a day of training and know why Robin came up with the name Fifth and Core. Why was it important to me? It is going to be an educational factor. It's going to be a legacy factor of businesses. Imagine going to Hershey and seeing everything that Hershey did, like in a headset and like really being brought in instead of watching an old school video like that. So it's going to be the legacies of companies that have been around for 98 years who want to pass it to the grandchildren. Imagine being able to see your great grandfather talk to you about something. And I think that's, it's just as much personal as it is business. And I love that you had said that. And I was like, I need to like go back and talk about that. Because as for a business owner and you're like, hey, what is my legacy? I put all this time, this effort. I got to sacrifice time with my family. I now have to go over to a business. I want that legacy to be lived throughout. And so I think that's where we're going to start seeing businesses adapt this, business owners, companies that have been passed down. Now, what you said about the VR and medical, next week, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas, at the Beauty Boss Conference. And we actually show where nerves, veins, muscles, skin, how to do injections. We did one in Boston, in Cambridge, actually. We did a cadaver course. and being able to layer on the face. We actually used my face as an example. So you get to put on augmented reality and actually see the work that I've done. I said earlier that I had a stroke. You can actually see that this whole side of my face has been rebuilt. And I have no problem sharing that because I think it's amazing. So instead of someone going out and testing it, I can get trained that way. Mm. We're seeing surgeries go differently. We're being able to see the best neurosurgeons remote in, putting a headset on while someone else might be in Florida and the best one might be in Seattle. And they're able to talk about it. So we're seeing the medical field advance drastically. Let's also talk about the automotive world. We're seeing a lot of blue collar people. Now you're talking about you're driving this in every day. If someone doesn't do this correctly, if they don't put a tire on back on or their training's right, not done, your life is in their hands. So being able to put a headset on somebody and train them, you have now a retired generation who can sit at home, remote in, they're in the comfort of an air conditioning, but they can also teach the younger generation. And that's where we're seeing this educational part take off rapidly.
So I'm taking notes while you're talking.
I'm like, whoa, okay, what's happening?
Yeah, and we have one of our biggest events of the year coming up in April. So I'm writing down, oh, I got to do this here. I got to, you know, make sure I shoot video for VR. But at the same time, then I'm thinking, this is our biggest event. This is where we get video and photos and all the things for the rest of the year. And I am really, really easily tempted by the shiny new thing, and I will run off and chase it and neglect everything else. So where, with omnichannel marketing, where, how do I draw the balance, and how do I find that that right balance of and mixing in the new emerging tech within trying to be everywhere?
It's like finding balance in life, though. It's, you know, we go to these events and we're like, okay, let's get a certain amount of content this way. And we just follow a script. And then we, classic is always going to be there. There's always going to be that retro, that spin, that classic. Mm-hmm. So get the regular photos and then look at it from different ones. Shoot this way, shoot this way. Ta-da. And make sure you have a checklist. And that's what we tell my team as we go through. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we shot all this content. That's great. And we have two people always going. One's always shooting this way. One's always shooting content this way. And then you have the photographer who's capturing whatever. But don't be exhausted. Use what works. Put it out there. And then give feedback. If it's the best content you've ever shot, then you know you're doing something right. Or maybe your audience is just not ready for it. But Paul, don't be exhausted.
And Paul, I'm just thinking, like, it would be so cool. Because he does powwows across the country for what's the big event that's coming up?
Gathering of Nations.
Yeah. And so being able to see that in like the spatial video, that would be sweet, Paul. That would be like really, really cool. So anyway, I mean, and the thing is, it's like, yeah, maybe a lot of people don't have to be able to watch it back, but now even the MetaQuest is allowing you to watch spatial videos inside of that. And so it's starting to open up, but I just think it'd be a cool thing. Anyway, Corey has a great point here, and I want to know your thoughts on this, Robin. He goes, my company's biggest hurdle is convincing some of the older generations that VR has advanced since the 80s and demonstrate the capability to achieve better learning outcomes than traditional schools. So how do you do that? Because, I mean, even the medical profession, and they have some emerging tech, and they're maybe a little bit more open to that. But still, I'm sure that's a struggle for you, is educating clients about this new technology.
Corey, I feel like a broken record. They can watch every podcast. They can be like, it's so cool. We're not going to do it. I'm like, what the? Come on. So yeah, I agree. And it's, I think the bridge, and I'm going to use my parents as an example. If you can't tell, I absolutely adore my parents. Augmented reality is that bridge. Virtual reality is very hard for people, for me especially, but augmented reality, being able to see through something, it is way more adaptable. And it, my parents are not tech people. They're real life people. Now, my mom was a teacher. And so when I put an augmented reality headset and she can build blocks, she's like, oh, okay. But we're also doing augmented reality without a headset. And I want to talk about that for the older generation. There are 2D barcodes. There are QR codes that you can scan over and something can pop up on your phone. One, you're getting user-generated content, but you're also being able to see something. So we did this for a seafood restaurant. We took a picture of the oysters. We actually made the ice cube, the QR code, scanned over it, and it actually told where each oyster came from. So you're like, this is a blue point. This goes with this wine. Well, people were playing with it so much, and it was such a, like, the restaurant got user-generated content. The people were enticed. We didn't have to worry about a server not telling the right thing. We didn't have to worry about allergies. So we're doing this for a lot of different people. And when they can see it and it's not a headset, it's a lot easier. So the bridge is augmented reality, and augmented reality can be done on a TV, can be done in a headset, and it can be done on your phone with a QR code. And I think that's where brands need to start looking at. But yeah, though, it's not just the older generation either. I have to say, boomers are more accepting of it. It's the Gen X, and I'm a Gen X, we are just pushing back so hard, and I don't understand why. And it's the boomers are great. They have plenty of time to learn. They're at home, they're retired, right. They're looking through stuff. It is our generation. And so it's an educational thing, and it's like social 15 years ago. And not to call you out, Jeff, but we were all around that time. And yeah. I remember people being like, this is a phase. Facebook is a phase.
Yeah.
Cool. It didn't go anywhere. So for a brand to pay attention right now, pay attention to this. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be how we talk to each other. You must jump on it immediately.
So I want to talk about a little bit. First of all, I want to give a shout out to some of my people watching. And thank you, Jim. He says, I'm watching this show on YouTube because it helps his minutes help go towards monetization. That's awesome. And Corey has something really good. He was like, just imagine a single mom who can't go to school during the day because she has to work. And now she can go to school at night. And, you know, I want another big shout out. So everybody wish Chris Stone. It's his birthday today. Yeah. So happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Jim called it out. Let's wish Chris Stone an early happy birthday. So awesome. Awesome, Chris Stone. One of the things that I wanted, before we move on, this is a great point by Kira. She goes, remember when people said, don't film it in 4K because nobody has a TV to showcase it. It's crazy to think about that now, but every piece of tech we have used daily now was once thought of as inaccessible. So that is very, very cool. One of the things, before we go on too much more, and you and I talked about before the show, there's a difference between VR, AR, and then like mixed reality. And Apple is the first one and they have coined a new term called spatial computing, which is so Apple. But let's talk about the differences between that, because this is the first headset that has that clear enough pass-through. Now, MetaQuest has pass-through, and pass-through means you can see, like I put it on and I can still see. It's got cameras that show me what I'm, you know, and I don't have to have like, I don't feel blind with it on. And it has a great camera that lets you see things. So Robin, talk a little bit about VR, you know, and all the different R's and mixed reality and all that stuff.
Okay. So let's try to break it. And I love this question because it's, and when I start saying AI, people are, or I say augmented reality, and people are like, I love AI. I'm like, nope, that's artificial intelligence. So let's take a couple steps back. Virtual reality is like virtual training. So it's like a simulation. You cannot see anything else out there. You are completely encompassed. If you've gone, you talked about Disney, Jeff, this is like, you know, Epcot, virtual reality. We are completely encompassed in that. We cannot see past it.
Beat Saber.
Augmented is digital elements in the real world. So it is that you might have a headset or you might have a phone, and it brings that digital element to life. So you can still see everything. I cannot run around my house with an Oculus headset and not run into a wall.
Right, right.
Facts. Tried it, done it, have some bruises. But with augmented reality, like the Magic Leap headset or the Apple Vision Pro, when it's in more augmented reality, you can see the real world. You can see furniture. You can walk around. You can do all of those things. That is why we say augmented reality is a lot better. We're also seeing the older demographic. They don't get that balance impairment. If you want to be completely in virtual reality, and I would say some people who are younger can do that, that is it. Now, mixed reality, or what they like to call, it's MR or XR, whatever you want to call it, is more computer technology that's graphics blended into the physical and digital world. So it goes back and forth between those.
Right.
That makes sense for it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, when you're really thinking about it, XR is great for like training, instructional design, project management. That's what those are going to be for. Where augmented reality is walking me through a futuristic home and saying, hey, this is where your artwork could be, or bring something to life. Where virtual reality, I'm not really walking around with it. And we've all watched the YouTubes of people running into two things. The reality is where you're going to be completely encompassed, immersed in it.
Yeah. That was great. So one of the cool things about the Apple Vision Pro is right here on the top, there's this digital crown, right? And it's like the digital crown on your watch. And the cool thing is you can have that pass through where you can see everything around you, which would be the mixed reality, but you can dial it in. So you can dial your reality down. And I don't know, Apple has done it where it has this fog where you can like fade out the real world and you're sitting and you can sit on the moon and watch a movie in 4K in each eye. It is amazing. And that is the first time I think now, like the Meta Quest, you can tap on the side and you can enter to pass through and you can see around you in a kind of a black and white, not very, it's really grainy, not really great. But with the Apple, you can like leave it on. I can look at my computer and throw up a big monster screen and actually do my video editing with a huge 4K monitor. So that kind of stuff where you can dial into reality is, I think, the thing that makes Apple kind of set itself apart because of the quality. So anyway, thank you for clarifying that, because that was something that I know a little bit about, but I'm glad I got your take on it. So I want to dive into this next section. But first, I want to do a big shout out once again to our folks at Ecamm who make this possible. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. They're the ones who sponsored the show. Use code Jeff15 to save up to 15% on your first purchase. So this is a great question before we move on to from Richard. He goes, if you shoot in spatial video, can you still use it now for traditional videos on social and they just won't get the full experience until they get headsets or watch it in a different way?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. So good to know. All right. So we're going to talk about some strategies and opportunities that that are with omnichannel marketing. And I really want to focus on what you guys have done at Fifth and Chorus, you know, your expertise. So what criteria should businesses consider most critical when selecting new channels to add to their omnichannel marketing strategy? Somebody just asked in the comments, what about Threads? Should I be on that? So what do you tell somebody who's trying to, you know, figure out if this new channel is, should I be on Mastodon? I mean, all this stuff, because they're cropping up all over. Which one should you use for this multi-channel, omni-channel strategy?
So there's six you have to be on. And I'm going to name those that you have to be on. And then there's the like to be on. So I want to say that. So you have to be on, and they're the evils of the world, but we're just going to mention them. Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter or X, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And I'm going to give you reasons why you have to be on that. Meta still runs everything. Even though we're making fun of them for getting shut down, they still run everything. And so you need to be on there for advertisement at this current time. For Pinterest, for just the SEO purposes and the discoverability, Pinterest right now, every brand we put on Pinterest blows up.
Yep.
It is still the most affordable one. It is still the biggest one. Don't think old school, like I'm putting recipes in a baby book. No, no one cares about that. We go and find it, but it helps you rank higher on Google. When Twitter and Tesla merged, we're going to talk about crazy Elon for a hot second. What was Tesla? Everyone's going to go, it's a car. No, it's not. It was a data collection. I would put in where I go. I would show the different, how fast I was going. I would show my drive every day. Tesla was all about data collection, still is. So when he merged that, think about Twitter and data collection and what you're able to do with that. And that is something that brands need to pay attention. I can geo target better than I've ever been able to do because of what X is doing. YouTube is bought by Google. So if you want to rank on Google, freaking go to YouTube. YouTube is also like hating on TikTok and Instagram right now, and they're trying to do this. So YouTube Shorts are outperforming any other channel right now. Mm-hmm. And now my Google ranking, my SEO is really launching. Also, with all of these platforms, if you're still thinking about SEO, you need to be thinking about GEO. And that is really going to be more AI-driven content. So you want to have more visuals across those platforms, and you want to be data-rich with those. So those are the platforms. If you can do all the other ones, first of all, Threads was the biggest scam we all got bought into, and now we can't get rid of it. If you delete your Threads, you delete your Instagram, you're like, well, shit. Oh, sorry, are we allowed a curse on here? Sorry. It was like a whole thing. And we're like, what just happened here?
Right.
I would say if you can go onto Reddit, if you have time and you know your audience, Reddit people are so smart. I don't know where the heck they come from, but if you're not ready to stay on that, don't go on those. Look at those six pillar and then expand from there if you can.
Gotcha. So you said GEO. Can you explain what that was? Because that went really fast.
So it's generative. So you have your SEO, which is, you know, where you're going into generative. So what we're looking at is they're now, because of Google's new algorithm, because of how they're looking at content, they're looking for data-rich content, and they're looking for it to be optimized that way. So the more data that you have, the more visuals that you have, mm-hmm. is actually what they're saying GEO. It's not replacing SEO yet, but it will. So writing a blog just to write a blog doesn't matter anymore. You must have data. You must have visuals to back up that data. And that's where that generative search engine is going to start going.
Yeah, I read something about they're thinking in about a year or whatever that like the old school SEO tactics, don't tell Lauren I'm saying this, Paul, is like going to be 40% lower than it is now. So just as they start switching this stuff out. So once again, more things to think about. But Paul, you had a question.
Yeah, so for people out there that maybe aren't on all of the six, when we're looking at a new channel, we're heading, you know, wanting to dive into Pinterest, for example, how do we do that? You know, how do we start on that platform to make sure that we do engage the right people, the right customer? You know, how do we kind of set ourselves up and establish ourselves on a new platform?
That's a great question. Paul, I'm going to make it super easy. You have all of these followers on that Pinterest or on that Facebook group. You want to go back and take your old content that performed well and move it over to the new platform. The one thing that's great about Pinterest is that your feed is not going to blow up just because of it. So you can go in and put 100 new pins on today because you have extra time, and then you can optimize them later on. So that is the one thing. It's not going to blow up someone's feed. If I went and put up 100 Instagram posts, people would unfollow me immediately. So when you're looking at a new platform, look at what it has to benefit and come up with a schedule. Use your old content that performed really well. Start testing on this platform and maybe rewrap it in a totally different way. But to go back to the generative engine optimization, leverage AI. Take this Facebook post in ChatGPT and make it a Pinterest post.
Ta-da. So I do that. You keep mentioning Pinterest, which I love because that's how I got started. It was mainly Pinterest tips. Ask Mike about it because he and I were doing the mainly Pinterest tip show back in the day on Google Plus. See, now it's your birthday, Chris Stone. There you go. But yeah, so using, and once again, it's a tool. Craft, there's still some crafting going on. Even Dustin Stout will say that with his great tool Magi. So you have to craft it for those different things. How do you do that, like with video? So like there's going to be a challenge of, you know, this content adaptation across these different channels. Like how do you as the CEO of Fifth & Co. approach the challenge of like adapting this content to suit different platforms? I'm thinking specifically of video because sometimes like horizontal video does better on certain platforms, square video does better on different platforms. Do you take all that into effect and then craft that strategy? Because once again, for a lot of people, this can get overwhelming really, really quickly.
Yes and no. So I told you people shoot this way.
Right.
And this way. And there's a reason why we're doing that, because obviously this does not perform very well on Instagram stories. It does not, you know, where on YouTube it is. And so we take the content, we shoot two different ways. That's what's really helped us. Now, if we don't, we go back and we add it. There's things, well, Dustin will help you out with this, but there's other platforms that can really help your content and treat it differently. But there's also Canva that reshapes it. Mm-hmm. So we have all these tools. And I think as marketers or as, you know, I don't look at myself as a marketer. I look at myself as an innovator. As an innovator, go out there and find out what tools there are. There's a lot of AI tools that will help you with video content and will tell you the best way to do it. But then test and don't kill yourself. Don't go make a ton of content. Put a piece of content out there. See how it does. If it doesn't perform well, okay, let's do it again. I say third time's a charm, or you break up with it. Like third time is like, okay, this type of content is not working. So let's try something different. And then ask people, like look at the goats in the place. And I'm like, hey, Jeff is using this platform. This is way better. I probably should be doing my podcast from this. Didn't know about it till I met him. So you have to use your network too and your partnerships out there.
So that is really cool because, I mean, that's actually what Paul and Lauren and Gary, I mean, all these people who kind of in our network, we're always sharing like, hey, I just found, because, you know, AI stuff is changing so fast. Like, hey, yeah. I found this new tool called Magi. It's amazing. And Dustin's even saying, I wonder if I should content repurposing, like remixing. That would be cool. So, so I love it that he's always thinking, he's seeing problems that we're trying to do and he's trying to make, you know, fix it. And Mike even said, you know, Robin first introduced me to this geo just this week, and it's fascinating. So that's where this community comes into. And that's why I love, like you were talking about, podcasting and live video, where you can have this community where you can bounce ideas off each other. So I think that is great. So thank you for sharing that tip. What were you going to say, Paul? Go ahead, Robin.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, we need each other. And I know, Jeff, I told you, you're like, I've been friends with Mike, so I'm going to give Mike one more shout out. I've been friends with him, but like, it wasn't just about a friendship. He taught me, okay, hey, this is how you're going to podcast better. Get a better light. No one can see you, Robin. But then there's things like GEO that I'm like, I'm in cold plunging in the morning. I read about GEO and I was like, what the heck? I got to tell Mike about this. And so it's all of us in a network pulling together to come up with that. I didn't meet Dustin until a week ago.
Right.
And he like opened my mind. I was like, literally, I had no questions for him on our own podcast, because I was like, my mind has been blown. It's all of us pulling together. You cannot do this alone. You can't. Right. It's an isolation if you do it that way. And so, Paul, when I look at your Facebook, I want to be like, how did you get a Facebook community? Can you teach me that? And I'll teach you anything else you need to know.
Paul's amazing in email marketing. That's his like secret sauce is right there. Right. And content.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, you mentioned the six platforms. We got to make sure we always put email in there too, because for me, that's where my community exists. We have a Facebook group and it does really well, but I really view my email as the place where I get to talk to them in a more intimate way. So yeah, make sure you add email to that seventh one.
Right.
Yeah. But also for everybody out there that's thinking about, okay, now I need to move into the more be everywhere, the omnipresent thing. As you've seen other companies and you've worked with other companies, what are some of those pitfalls that you've seen? What should we be looking for to make sure that we don't fall into any traps or you know, start off on the wrong foot? What are things you can tell us that will help us avoid any issues you've seen?
I think one, and I thank you so much for asking this question. One is lack of authenticity. I have watched small business owners get bought by private equity and they come in and it's just like, it's overwhelming. They're not connecting to their audience anymore. And so I would say, be careful of that. Be authentic. And if you can only post 3 times a week, freaking great. Post 3 times a week. That is okay. If you can post 1 time a week, then keep it consistent that every Monday I'm going to drop Monday news or Friday come vibe with me on LinkedIn. That's all you need to do. But so authenticity, be consistent. And like, don't go gangbusters. That's what everyone does. They're like, we're going to post 7,000 times. We're going to do 8 YouTubes. And you're like, that's great. Can you stay on that little hamster wheel for the rest of your life? No, I don't go to CrossFit as my first thing back in the gym because I'm not at wackadoo. You literally need to go in and start, let's take a yoga class or maybe let's stretch a little bit before we go and jump in and go hardcore.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, as business owners or as people who are doing it, it is one of those things that you have to, okay, what platforms are we going to do? We're going to test this for 90 days. Then we'll, if we see results, let's increase it by one more post a week. Mm-hmm. Don't go crazy. And business owners who make their marketing team die, they can't keep up with it. And you're going to be replacing a ton of people if you're just going to burn through people. And I do like that Paul said email. I want to give like email and SMS a huge shout out. If you're not on that, don't even worry about all your social platforms. You need to be in email. You need to be able to be texting people. You need to do in-person events. For your brand, come up with something. But yeah, there's other branches of marketing.
Yeah. Or live video, because you can repurpose stuff. And I know Mike's watching because he does a really great job of repurposing everything. And he taught me a lot about that. One of the things, you know, you mentioned going to the gym. I used to lift weights, but they're so heavy. So I stopped. but being consistent, I think, is very, very important. You know, like that, like doing a show a week, like we've been doing this show for 3 years every Friday. Like that, to me, I think the secret sauce for everything, and you touched on it, is being consistent and having those people in your life that can keep you accountable and help. You know, like Dustin said, we make each other better. And I thought that was a great thing. And Dustin, you know, he always is dropping stuff like that. It's probably because he looks like Jesus. But I mean, that is the core thing, I think, is that we make each other better. So on this last, the kind of this last question, because we're running out of time. This is so fascinating. It's been so great talking with you, Robin. One of the questions I want to talk about, kind of like some brass tacks, some really practical things, because we're talking about, you know, how you guys measure success at Fifth and Core and these emerging trends. Like, how much budget should we allocate? Like, you know, we've had a lot of people read profit first, where you always take so much profit out. How much should we be taking out for emerging tech? Like, how much should we be putting in our coffers so that we can actually invest back in ourselves with some of these new things like the Apple Vision Pro or something like that? Because money's tight, and if we have money, we spend it. We're people. We that's how it works. So do you have like a ballpark figure that you're kind of thinking, like a percentage base of what we should hold back to invest in ourselves in this way?
Oh, man, I thought he was going in marketing question, a percentage. And I was like, okay, I got this. Everyone asked that question. I'm good. Then he threw in, no, new emerging tech. And I'm like, crap. So
it's part of marketing, though. It's kind of that, you know, now it is.
Thank you. That's why we're a marketing and innovation company, because they're together like this. Mm-hmm. What I would say is do 10% of your budget if you can, and be thinking about, okay, is this really the investment? You probably don't need the Apple Vision Pro. You really don't. But there are other tools like get Magi, get Canva, get these other things that you need to start working towards. Maybe sign up for the paid version of ChatGPT, because that is emerging tech. The results that you get, measure it. If your team saved time and you didn't pay their salaries during that time, then great. Now you have that bucket to use for a new headset. And that's how we try to do it. Okay, how much time did this new platform save you? Great. Did we get to use more money for someplace else? And that, as a business owner, please do that with yourself. It's the same thing. If I want to go on vacation, I'm going to maybe not eat out as much that month. So think about what you're saving so that you can use it and reallocate funds. It's really how fast you want to grow. But when ChatGPT hit the world, our computers almost shut down. That's all we heard about for months. AI, every conference I go to, everyone does AI. Did you know there's new AI Disney rides? They're not, but everyone is using it because it's a buzzword. So This is not going away. This is like social. It's going to be here forever, and you need to start investing in it, even if it's small amounts of money from your business. Or partner with people like me. And if you're in Miami, come on, I'll take you to coffee and we'll put a headset on you. Or if you're in one of the locations that I'm traveling to, come over and put on a different headset. Start working with people and finding those partnerships, because you can probably help me in some other way.
Yeah, and once again, once you experience stuff, that's what you really need, is go do the demo at Apple Store. Even if you're not going to buy it, take the time, set up an appointment, and go see what it's all the talk is about, because it really is kind of mind-blowing. Paul, do you have any final thoughts, questions?
No, I just have a page full of notes here. So
that's right. It's been great. So like Gary had to bug out early, but he is, you know, once again, there is a podcast that will be dropping about this. But Gary, thank you so much for stopping by today. This has been eye-opening. It's fascinating. We could talk for another hour, but I want to let Robin go because she's got stuff to do. But Robin, where can people find out more about you? You mentioned some speaking things that you're doing in the near future. Talk about that. Where can people connect with you? All those things that is Robin Diamond.
Absolutely. First of all, Paul, you better send me this thing that you're doing, this event, this gathering nation. I need to know about that. So send that to me after. But so I'm Robin Diamond. I'm at fifthandcore.com. So fifth represents the five senses. Core is the root word of heart or courage. So that's core.com. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to connect with you there. We put every event that we're doing out there. So if you see an event and you're like, hey, I need tickets, or I want to know more about this event, please connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow our Fifth and Core LinkedIn as well, and we can get you newsletters and update you. But that's the best way to connect. Again, I'm an open book. So if you have any questions, we try to do our best to connect with you. I always say coffee or cocktails. That can happen virtually. So please reach out. Love to talk to you. If there's a solution that I missed, please tell me so that I can be better for the next one and I can share that information.
Awesome. The amazing Paul Gowder, where can we find out more about what's going on? And even some of the stuff that you kind of mentioned today, where people can find out more about that.
Yeah. So my main website, paulgowder.com. But if you're interested in Native American powwows or Gathering of Nations coming up, the largest powwow of the year, head over to powwows.com. I'd love to help you explore Native American culture.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It is a great group. He has done some amazing stuff. How long have you been doing the business, Paul? How long have you been streaming?
We started it in 1996.
Yeah. So he's been around doing it for a while. So anyway, Thank you guys so much for watching. Jim, thank you. He says, fascinating episode. Thank you. And Kira always loves Paul's shirts. It's awesome. Thank you, Dustin, for chiming in as always. And Chris Stone and Jim Fuse, everybody who's been on the show. And Corey, thank you for tuning in today. We appreciate you guys. We wouldn't be able to do the show without you. And once again, thank you for Ecamm, our sponsor. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Use code Jeff15 to save 15% of your first purchase. And with that, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.